Arrow Precision pushes the boundaries for modern sporting rifle builds and machines receivers from custom forgings for added strength and durability. Arrow Precision delivers top quality American-made products at an affordable price. ArrowPrecisionUSA.com.
All right, get ready to talk about guns because this is Gun Talk, and I'm Tom Gresham, your host. Yes, the show is called Gun Talk. We're going to talk about guns for hours and hours and hours because it's fascinating. New guns, old guns, shooting guns, storing guns, how to store guns responsibly. Maybe you're a new gun owner. There are, I don't know, 11, 12 million first-time gun buyers over the last 18 months or so. If you're new to all this, you're in the right place. We'll see if we can help you out here. If you have any questions, by all means, just give us a call. We'll see if we can tackle those. We're generally able to help with most things. If I don't know the answer, I call for help from my friends, which is all these listeners out here. They are not at all reluctant to set me straight when I make a mistake, and that's a good thing. We all help each other out. And sometimes you have to say, hey, I don't know that one. Somebody help me out. That's okay. And, of course, we got the hunting seasons well underway in much of the country. I'll be talking a bit about that in about, 30 minutes or so. We're going to have a range report from somebody on his way back from an elk hunt. Also talking about some really cool new optics gear. You know, for a lot of big game hunting, the change in technology offers some real improvements, some real advancements, and some real challenges, and actually a chance for you to choose, is this something I want to use or not? Specifically talking about long-range shooting. Take it a generation or two ago, a 250 to 350-yard shot on a deer, elk, whatever, that's a long shot. Because we were pretty much guessing at how far it was, and that was the real issue. Is, okay, how far is that across the canyon, across, even, honestly, it doesn't have to be out west. In the steamy south where I grew up, you have pipelines, you have high lines, you have big open soybean fields, and it could be a shot of 300, 400, 500, 600 yards across there. How far is it? Was always the question. And in the past, we would actually go, if we were going to be sitting at a tree stand somewhere or a tower stand, we'd actually measure off the distances and put out like flags and go, this is 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600 yards. Now, for me, I wasn't going to take a 600-yard shot. I was just, I'll just say it, I wasn't up to that. Whether it was the gear or whether it was me, I just, it never occurred to me to do that. I guess I just never even tried. And contrast that with today, primarily because of laser rangefinders, we know how far things are. I mean, okay, I've just zapped that one. It's 427 yards, 532 yards. And once you know that, the technology's there where you can just dial it in. You reach up on top of your scope and you put it at 425, 500, whatever. The drop's taken care of for you. And look, most of the rifles we use, if you're 270, 30-06, whatever, obviously 7 mags, 6.5 Creedmoors, most of them are capable of delivering the energy you need out at 500 yards or so. But it's not as simple as just drop, is it? Because if you had a bench, big concrete bench, and you had sandbags and a rest, that wouldn't be too tough, as long as the wind's not blowing, of course. But when you have to kind of flop down across the sagebrush or find a rock or lay down and put the rifle across your pack, or if the wind's blowing 10, 15, 20 miles an hour, things just get exponentially more complicated and more difficult. And that's where, frankly, I would suggest that you have to put aside all the stuff you're seeing on YouTube videos and on these TV shows about long-range hunting. And look, I know for a fact that some of these shows, they fake this stuff. I know a guy that went on one of these shows. He was being featured on one of these shows. And the host of the show, a long-range hunting show, says to him, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to take the shot. They just laser range finded it. It was like 380. you know, it's a pretty good distance, but not a real poke. Says, you're going to take the shot, turn around and say, wow, 750 yards. How about that? Just lying. So I guess what I'm saying is don't be necessarily persuaded or pushed or influenced or encouraged by what you're seeing, what you're reading, what you're hearing, and certainly not by a lot of the stuff you're hearing or reading on the internet right now when people are encouraging you to take these shots. Yes, it's fun to hit steel targets out long range. I get that, and I do that. But when conditions are variable, wind is all over the place, you know, a miss on a steel target is just a miss. You didn't hit the steel. A miss on an elk is maybe a crippled elk that you don't ever get, but he's still crippled. He's out there, maybe gets finished off by the wolves. I would offer, and this is just me, okay? Just me. I would offer that you, me, each of us as hunters have responsibility to the sport, to the activity, to do it right, but also to the animal, to take only ethical shots, the ones where you are 98% plus sure you're going to make this shot. Not a, boy, I sure hope this works out, because you know what? If you're thinking, I hope this works out, you probably don't need to be pulling the trigger. Not good enough, frankly, in my book. So we have the technology, and it's very cool. Some of it's amazing. We'll be talking about some of that in just a few minutes. At the same time, you have to bring your personal ethics and responsibility to it. And I get it. I mean, that's, some people say that's pretty rare these days. I don't know if it is. It's probably less common than we would like it to be. I guess, you know, we call them slob hunters. There have always been slob hunters out there who will do anything or whatever it takes to get the critter. From shooting from a road to running ATVs all over the place and all the rest of that. I choose to think that they are very much in the minority. I think they get attention out of proportion to how many there are because we call attention to bad behavior. We, you know, when you get somewhere, you don't talk about all four tires stayed full. You talk about the one that went flat. It's just what we do. Interesting ideas. I mean, long-range shooting, and look, what's long-range for me may not be at all long-range for somebody else who says, you know, 550 yards is a chip shot for him or for her. Cool. I guess I would offer that the only way for you to know that is to go out and try it, and not from a bench, from hunting positions, hunting situations, get down on the ground, flop down on your pack, take shots at steel at 500 or 600 yards. When you can consistently and reliably and dependably make a first shot, there's the emphasis, first shot hits on an 8-inch or smaller steel target, at whatever distance that is, you're good to go. When you reach the distance at which you say, I can't depend on making that first shot hit, I might have to walk it in. Well, walking it in is fine on steel, but it's not okay on a critter. That's when you say, okay, that's my limit. For somebody, it might be 600. For somebody, it might be 300. And I guess the only way to know that is to go out and try it. Tell you what, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about loads for deer, for elk. And you can tell me what you have been shooting. Doesn't matter if it's about hunting, self-defense, or just target shooting. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. We'll be right back.
Whether mounted on your gun, in your pocket, or in your glove box, a quality flashlight can be a lifesaver. Count on Surefire's illumination tools to defend you and your loved ones when it matters most. Designed, engineered, and precision machined in the USA for more than 40 years, Surefire is the ultimate in performance and reliability. Go with the proven performer. Go Surefire.
Introducing the new R7 Mako, a high-capacity, polymer-framed, striker-fired micro-compact from Kimber. Here's a taste of what you get. 12 and 14-round total capacity with the 11 and 13-round magazines. The performance carry trigger with the smooth pull and clean break you'd expect of a single-action handgun. Optics ready or optics installed, Kimber's R7 Mako will feed your appetite for something different. See how at r7mako.com.
Visit GunTalk.com/win to enter GunTalk's Prize Packapalooza giveaway for multiple chances to win six prize packages. Everything from Pyramid Air's Sig Sauer 1911 BB pistols and Ruger Explorer air rifles with ammo, safety glasses, and other accessories, to Lockdown's handgun vaults, pucks, and gun safe lighting, to Axel's GS Extreme earbuds or Tracker Blue earmuffs. Enter now through October 29th at GunTalk.com/win.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless, black powder, and black powder substitute propellants, and the leader in reloading data for enthusiasts and newcomers alike through the Reloading Data Center. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
Hey, welcome back to Gun Talk. Our number here is 866-TALK-GUN or Tom Talk Gun. Either one will get you in here. I'm Tom Gresham. If you have something on your mind, or maybe you just landed here and you don't particularly care for guns, that's okay. I'll give you the floor. You could explain your position, but that's all right. We generally, you know, we don't cut people off or shout them down. As long as you're civil, we're civil, and we can have a conversation. And by doing so, maybe each of us can learn something. Fair enough. All right. Let's go talk with Luis on two. Luis was with us last week, had a problem with his GT25 pistol. Luis, I gather that you got that fixed. How's everything going?
Everything is going very well, Tom. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call, too. Sure. I promised to give you a report back, so I wanted to do so. Well, okay. I was pleasantly surprised. I got the gun on Tuesday, and I was not really expecting it that soon, and discovered that the gunsmith at Dury's had taken care of the issue on Friday. So they shipped it that day, and I got it back on Tuesday. Apparently, there was not anything missing or broken in the gun. It was just apparently they had put it together in an improper way. I don't know if you know, but the 1911s have there's a leaf spring with three blades.
Yes.
And this particular grip has to be properly put into one of those, and also on the sear, over the sear.
Right.
And apparently that has not been done right at the factory, and that's what the issue was.
Oh, okay.
There was no need for parts or anything.
All they need to do is take the grip apart, you know, and just put it back in. And for those who don't know, if they looked at it, there's like kind of like a three arms, if you will, of a leaf spring there that goes in the grip. And so if you don't put it together right, you didn't. So anyway, you didn't have the grip safety, spring tension wasn't there. But so they just put it together for you correctly and sent it back to you from Dury's Guns.
Correct. And
okay.
On hindsight, I could have done that, but I wanted them to do that just to be safe, especially being a no gun.
That's smart. Yeah, that makes sense. So how is it now?
Oh, it's a dream. I went yesterday to the range. We have a gun club here called the Governor's Gun Club. We have a 100-yard range there, indoor. And I never taken really a gun to that particular range. And I decided to do that just for the heck of it. And, Tom, probably the only limitation there were my eyes. And I have to tell you, this thing just shoots like a dream. I made a grouping that it would be even difficult to do with a long gun. And that's a lot to say at 100 yards.
Well, for those who don't know, we're describing a GT25. This is our, we do this every few years, do a little promotional gun for Gun Talk. So this recognizes 25 years on the air for Gun Talk Radio. But we're talking about a 4 1/4-inch barrel 1911 pistol from the Ruger Custom Shop in 10 millimeter, and you're shooting this pistol at 100 yards, right?
Right. I didn't know what was going to come out of it because I was shooting before at 25 yards, and that was again very good. But then I said, what happens if I shoot this 100 yards? So I could do it there indoors, so I decided to just give it a try.
Well, so you got this gun in. It wasn't working right. You sent it back to Dury's Guns. Of course, they've got their lifetime warranty, and they've got a bunch of gunsmiths on hand anyway. They just took it apart, put it back together for you. Okay, here it is. You get it back in, and you're thinking, I wonder how this is going to work out. So how are you feeling about the whole process, the whole experience at this point?
No, I'm very pleased. I mean, I don't blame them for having an issue here and there, and this probably Ruger trying to get as many of them at the door, probably just somebody just didn't pay attention there for a little bit. That's a human thing.
Right.
But to me, the most important part of it was the way that they handled the problem. And this is basically the credit of Dury's. I mean, they did an outstanding job of customer service. Kenneth was a jewel in here. And I've done business with Dury's before, and my experience has always been very positive. But this definitely gives me a very warm feeling that if anything else were to go wrong with this gun, and I don't believe it will, it's a very good quality gun. I know that my back is covered. I am very happy. Very happy.
And it's a lifetime warranty, so you're covered pretty much forever. You know, I'm just amazed. I did not know you were going to do this, and I would not encourage anybody, but I've had a couple of people say, you know, I decided to just go out and see how far I could shoot this. And here's a question for you. Shooting at 100 yards, I've had people say they're not actually having to hold over. They're holding on the target. So where were you holding to hit at 100 yards?
Well, initially, I was, again, the limitation here were my eyes, not the gun, okay? Because at that point, the target is just a little bitty mosquito on top of the size, right? It's very tiny.
Right.
So I was trying to be consistent. And the first time I tried, I was over, believe it or not. So I tried to adjust a little bit. I tried to, because you have to also guess how you want to do this with iron sights. It's not the same thing doing it with a scope or even a red dot. So you have to more or less know where the sights are pointing to. So after I adjusted that and did my shots, I think, I mean, my grouping was about 4 inches at the most. But then again, that's not fault of the gun. If I had probably had a brace or something or put it on top of something, the grouping would have been a lot tighter than that.
Yeah, because, but I mean, who wants to have a lousy gun that shoots only 4-inch groups at 100 yards handheld with a pistol, a 4 1/4-inch pistol? Oh, my God, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm telling you. I even have had that issue. I mean, not that issue, but I have had similar results even with long rifles. So doing it with a handgun, especially at 4.25 inches, this is, to me, was outstanding. And the only thing that caught me by surprise a bit is the trigger is so light that a couple of times, it didn't happen at the 100-yard yard range. It happened the other one when I was shooting 25. You almost have to be careful because before you know it, that trigger goes off very easily.
It's like in the 3.5-pound range. And so if you're used to, especially if you're used to polymer pistols, you're going to go, wow, this thing. I've had people say, oh, wow, that's a hair trigger. It's really light. I said, no, just shoot it for a while. You'll get used to it, and it's very controllable. But, yes, you're right. If you're not careful, you know, you will get on that trigger too quickly, and it'll surprise you. But once you get the hang of it, I mean, is it starting to feel better for you now?
Oh, yeah. Again, I'm looking forward. The only thing that keeps me from doing it a lot more is obviously the price of ammo right now, especially 10 millimeter. But let me tell you, it is a great gun. I am very happy. I'm extremely happy with that gun.
I want to tell you, I very much appreciate you calling back because, you know, you called and said, look, I had a problem with the gun, sent it back to Dury's. They said they're going to take care of it, and that's kind of where we left it. So it's a testament to you that you would call back and say, look, let me tell you what happened here, and I appreciate that. I mean, there's a reason, I will tell you, Luis, that I like doing business with Dury's, and I have been a customer of theirs. Before they were a sponsor of the show, I was a customer of theirs, and we've had a long-term relationship as a customer. And they just have always treated me right that way. So I never hesitate to recommend them to people.
Yeah, this is my third transactions with them, and second transaction. But I bought a gun from them before, and it was the same experience. It was very good.
Very good. Well, again, thank you for your call. I thank you for the follow-up, and congratulations. I am glad that you are loving that gun.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Tom. Oh.
All right. You take care. Let's see. We've got time here. Let's get Mike from Massachusetts on line one. Mike, I got about a minute, so if you'll dive into it quickly, that would be helpful.
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes, sir. I've got about a minute for you, so go ahead and jump into it, please.
Just looking for a trigger upgrade for my Ruger Mini 14. And love the show, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm not sure. I don't know that Timney makes triggers for almost everything, but I'm not sure if they do one for the Mini 14. Have you looked on the Timney trigger website?
I've talked to their customer service, and they said they do not.
Yeah, I was thinking they don't. I don't know of one, but that's okay. If you'll keep listening, we're going to put the call out. If somebody knows how to get a replacement trigger or a trigger upgrade for a Ruger Mini 14, give us a call, and Mike, we'll see if we can run that down, because I don't know, but we have an awful lot of people listening, and somebody out there is going to know, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Good deal. Well, we'll see if we can rustle that one up for you. Mini 14, of course, is a really fun gun. I've got one of those, and I've got one of the ranch rifles. It's kind of the same thing, basically. It's a miniature M14 type, semi-automatic, of course, from Ruger. Tough as nails, kind of an almost AR-15, doesn't look as menacing, even though it shoots the same ammo at the same speed and everything else. It's the weirdest thing. People say, oh, well, that's not one of those bad guns. Well, functionally, it's identical. People are funny that way, aren't they? I swear. All right, tell you what, 866-TALK-GUN. When we come back, we're going to get a range report. A couple folks driving back from an elk hunt. And also an update on some of the latest optics in terms of scopes, spotting scopes, rifle scopes, and rangefinders, and what's going on in that world. If you'd like to join us with your range reports, we'd love to have that. Again, 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham. Gun Talk will be right back. All right, back with you. Tom Gresham, it's Gun Talk. If you'd like to join us, 866-TALK-GUN. If you want to see some of the other things we're doing, you go to guntalk.com. If you want to participate in our Gun Talk October Prize Pack-a-Palooza giveaway, you're giving away 6 different prize packs. Each of them has hearing protection from Axel, a lockdown prize pack, a puck. Oh, we've got handgun vault, safe lights, all sorts of stuff going on. Pyramid Air prize pack. You can go take a look at it. Guntalk.com/win. That's W-I-N. And you can enter for a chance there. I mentioned earlier that hunting season is well underway. Just got pictures yesterday from our neighbor, a guy in his mid-20s. He got a real nice looking, looks like a 5x5 bull elk. So it's out there. It's happening right now. And one of the things that's going on is people are using new technology. Join me to talk about that and his hunt. He's just on his way back from right now. Joe Fruchtel joins us from Sig Sauer. Hey, Joe, how are you, sir?
Good. How you doing, Tom?
Well, I'm good. You are on your way back right now from an elk hunt.
Yeah. Me and my father and my nephew all went out for a cow elk hunt in eastern Oregon.
Well, cool. Tell your dad's Tom Fruchtel, obviously from Loophole days, and tell him hello for me, please.
I will. I absolutely will.
Yeah. Good deal. All right. So, Tim, I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to get you on was talking about this crazy technology that just gets better and better all the time, and Sig Sauer being now a big optics company, as well as all the other things it's doing. Well, I guess we ought to just say, can you tell me what you were using? Were you using things on this hunt that you can talk about that are not like new prototypes and things?
Yeah, a little bit of both. One's a prototype, but it's announced and it's out there, is our Kilo 10K, which is a range-finding binocular. And it's a pretty exciting product. It's kind of
that's the one evolution. That got, I that was one that got my attention. That's the one I said, we got to talk about this thing. So you had binoculars with a rangefinder built in. So tell me about this and all about the product, if you would.
Yeah, so, I mean, what this Kilo 10K is kind of the evolution to a product that we've had on the market for a little bit, which was the Kilo 3000. And the Kilo 10K, really what we've changed between the Kilo 3000 and the Kilo 10K, we put a new range-finding engine in it. So the way that it processes the range inputs that it's getting is improved. So that's we're actually able to range out to 10,000 yards on reflective surfaces with this this new binocular because of that range-finding engine. And it's pretty – I mean, that's ideal situations, reflective targets. So you're ranging a mirror or something, a road sign, but you're definitely able to get those crazy far distances. On deer, animal stuff like that, you're looking at 3,000 yards in bright sunlight. As stuff gets a little bit dimmer, those range inputs will improve as well. So
okay, and obviously that's the key here is that it does all that, but it does, there are other range finders out there, but this does a lot more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the other features that we added were onboard environmental sensors and a digital compass onto this thing. So it's able to do all of the inputs that you need for Applied Ballistics Elite. So you're able to get all your ballistic solutions out to as far as you can range, essentially. And previously on our BDX Ultralight system, you were able to get ballistic solutions out to 800 yards. And on this system, you're able to get, 3,000, 4,000-yard ballistic solutions for whatever profile you want to put in there. So whatever round you're shooting, you can put the bullet in there and your muzzle velocity, and it will give you your correct come-ups for whatever distance you're going to range and also for whatever wind value you want to put in there. So
does this have the ability to talk to your SIG scope and actually make the adjustment as far as your hold point?
It does. So, that's our BDX, we'll call it like an ecosystem. So BDX stands for Ballistic Data Exchange. And these are BDX enabled, so they'll be able to pair to any of our Sierra 6s or our Sierra 3 rifle scopes. And through the reticle in there, it will be able to display the correct come-ups.
How this works, you get your binocular out, you see the animal, you zap it with the laser, and it's got the distance, and then it takes that information and shoots it over to your rifle scope, which is already programmed in with your load you're using. And when you bring the rifle to your shoulder and look through it, it has the aiming point already set up, so you simply hold on for that distance. Is that how this works?
That is correct. So essentially, when you range anything with this system, with your ballistics that you've inputted into the system, so you just put your bullet weight and your muzzle velocity in there, it will. So if I range something at 700 yards, it's going to say, okay, that's a 12 MOA hold with that ballistic profile.
Okay.
And so it will give that information to you in MOA, MRAD, whatever, whichever unit of measure you want to use. And then when you pair it with one of our rifle scopes, so like a Sierra 3 or a Sierra 6, it will shoot over that 12 MOA holdover information. And in those rifle scopes, they have a really special reticle in there that's able to light up a dot right at 12.5 MOA or 12 MOA, whichever one, whatever drop it sends over there. So, that's our BDX system.
As I'm looking at this online here at the 6-Hour website, this binocular doesn't look any larger, and it's certainly no heavier at 32 ounces than any regular pair of binoculars.
Correct. I mean, you do have a little bit of electronics in there, but it's the same weight as what our Kilo 3000 was, and it's going to be very comparable to any 10x42 binocular. And the other feature that we added to this is we upgraded the display in this, and it's a... The way that I describe the difference is it's like going from looking at one of those high school scoreboards where they light up little dots to looking at a Jumbotron. So on our previous displays, you had, maybe a couple hundred segments that you could light up. Mm-hmm. And this is what we call an active matrix OLED. And so it's think it is 304 by 256 in pixels. So you get about 78,000 pixels in there. You can light up and pretty much put whatever character or image or anything you want in there. So it allows us a lot more freedom to set stuff up and display information to the user. So it's a pretty exciting system.
So now using this, you can set it up for various loads, but if you want to do hand loading, you can customize this for either a hand load or any kind of new cartridge that comes out. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, if you're shooting factory loads, you could just take whatever bullets on the box. There is a bullet library, so you just select that bullet. And then for the most part, you can use the muzzle velocity on those box. Obviously, those muzzle velocities vary based off of what rifle you're shooting it through, but you can adjust up and down. It's usually a good starting line. If you are a hand loader, I'm a hand loader, so I just pick whatever bullet I loaded. I put it from the library in there, and then I go and I'll chronograph it, and whatever muzzle velocity I'm getting, I put it in there, and it is dead nuts accurate, that's for sure.
That is terrific. So did you have to use that, or was this like close shots on your cow elk?
My shot had a little bit of distance on it. My dad's shot this morning was about 150 yards, so he didn't have to use it on his.
So. Yeah, that's always nice. I like them up close if I can get them.
Yeah, you try to close that distance as much as possible.
Absolutely. Well, 6 hour, of course, is now a legitimate no-kidding optics company, as well as, you know, guns and ammo and all the other stuff. That's very cool stuff. I would encourage people to go take a look at the whole lineup, because, I mean, you got rifle scopes, spotting scopes, binoculars, and other things, rangefinders. Very cool what you guys are doing to the whole ecosystem, Joe.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tom.
You betcha. You take care, and congratulations on that one. I know you got another hunt coming up, and good luck on that one. All right, thanks so much. 866-TALK-GUN. Amazing stuff going on out there. Are you getting ready for hunting season? Or have you already been out there? You know, range reports also include what happened on your hunt. We'd like to hear that as well. 866-TALK-GUN. I'm Tom Gresham.
Remington Ammunition's Arkansas factory is making millions of rounds of green and yellow box ammo every day. From UMC to Wingmaster HD, look for your favorite loads back on shelves. And with the introduction of Remington's new cord-locked tipped, the deadliest mushroom in the woods is even deadlier. Classic, hard-hitting cord-locked performance meets improved accuracy and long-range potential to make this season the deadliest yet. Big Green is back. Visit Remington.com.
Hey, the GT25 pistol is finally here. I'm Tom Gresham. Now, I helped spec it out, but it's even better than I imagined. Celebrating 25 years of Gun Talk Radio, the GT25 is hand-assembled and fitted in the Ruger Custom Shop. It's a commander-size 1911 in 10mm. Only 500 will be made, which averages out to only 10 per state. Black nitride steel frame, striking blue and black G10 grip panels, Novak Tritium night sight, adjustable Novak low mount rear sight. Each GT25 comes with 3 8-round magazines, a custom presentation case, a Ruger Custom Shop challenge coin, and a certificate of authenticity. To order, go to Dury'sGuns.com. That's Dury'sGuns.com. Not available in California or Massachusetts. Only 500 will be made. Don't miss out. Dury'sGuns.com.
Mental health and guns. At Walk the Talk America, we're working with both the mental health community and the gun industry. Created by a gun industry veteran, Walk the Talk America seeks to raise awareness and create change through suicide prevention and firearm safety without legislation. We strive to eliminate the prejudice that firearms and mental health face. For more information and to support Walk the Talk America, please visit walkthetalkamerica.org.
Ruger's 10/22 rifle line offers a variety of models and features for whatever you need your next 22 to do. From target, takedown, or tactical, to competition, carbine, or compact. The 10/22 Action is a tried and true Ruger design, delivering consistent, reliable performance. With its classic styling and ease of use, the Ruger 10/22 is America's favorite rimfire rifle.
Find the perfect 10/22 for you at Ruger.com.
This is a new study done by John Lott at the Crime Prevention Research Center. The headline on it is simple. It's concealed carry permits surge nationwide, going past 21.5 million adults with carry permits. It says 2021 sees a dramatic surge in concealed carry permits with a 10.5% increase over 2020. Crazy, huh? 21.5 million people with permits to carry conceal. That's a bunch of people, okay? But, and as impressive as that is, it's actually much more than that. I mean, much more than that. Imagine this. There are now 21 states that have what we call constitutional carry or permitless carry, where anybody who's an adult, and in most cases, most of these states, it's 21 or over, who's not a prohibited person who can actually own a gun, can carry a gun concealed, loaded, for self-defense without a permit. So I ran some numbers this week. Just I was curious. I took the 21 states. I figured out what was the population of those states. What is the average? Generally speaking, it's about 75% of the population is above 21 years old. So I took 75% of that population of those 21 states. What I came up with was, putting aside for the moment that there are still a lot of states that are not constitutional carry where people do have permits. So that would be an addition to this. But if you just looked at these 21 states, there are more than 60 million people who are, quote unquote, licensed to carry concealed gun. There's 60 million people who can carry concealed, who can carry a gun for their own protection. And then the people who have permits in other states are on top of that. So, I don't know, call it half of what's left. Call it 70 million people. That's got to be a fifth of the population. Maybe, well, if you do adult population, maybe a quarter of the adult population of the United States. Maybe more can carry guns. Very interesting, huh? Interesting stuff going on. Let's talk to Ray in the Bronx on line four. Hey, Ray, glad you made it in. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, yeah, listen, I'm very much encouraged. I've been in contact with, I guess you've spoken to him many times, Alan Gottlieb, regarding the SCOTUS case, which is going to get heard. The briefs have been filed, and the briefs look very good. The oral arguments start a week from Wednesday.
Yep, November 3rd.
Yes. Now, my concern here is, I don't know if you remember this, but remember there were actually two cases where Chicago lost. They lost on the licensing issue. They had to issue licenses because the judge said you're more likely to need a license on the street than you are in your 30-story apartment building. So what they did was they said, fine, we're going to give you licenses. But they said you have to train at a range and you have – so they established a zoning law that all the ranges – in sketchy
Ray?
Parts of town
hey.
Or in industrial parks.
Hey, Ray. I got 30 seconds left, and you got the floor, but only for 30 seconds.
Here is that New York City will try to rescind the existing permits rather than see them become carry permits.
Yeah, exactly. Let me pick this up. The New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case goes before the Supreme Court on November the 3rd. We'll have more about that a little later in the show today. This has the potential for changing carry permits and whether you can carry or not throughout the entire country. It very possibly, and I think probably will do away with the whole may issue and turn the entire country into shall issue. We'll talk about that when I come back. 866-TALK-GUN. As we are very quickly approaching the oral arguments for the Supreme Court on November the 3rd in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association case. Basically, it's a challenge against New York having a may issue requirement on concealed carry, or actually just carrying a pistol at all, carrying a gun outside of your home. You can apply for the permit, but you're not going to get approved because they have a provision there that you have to show, quote unquote, proper cause. And no one does unless you are a celebrity or unless you are giving them hefty bribes or, as we have come to find out, giving the licensing police officers Rolexes and cash and other things. And that's how you get your permit in New York. But the question is, does the right to keep and bear arms mean both keep and bear? Keep means you can hold it, you can own it, you can keep it in your house. That was firmly established with the Heller decision, came out of the Supreme Court 12 years ago. But what about the bear part? That would mean carry it with you. In states, there are 9 states that are may issue, which they say basically, you better show us really good reason or give us enough money and we'll give you a license to carry. What if they did that for free speech? You have to show us a good reason for you to be able to have free speech. It doesn't really work that way, does it? It actually doesn't work that way with the Second Amendment either. And I think the Supreme Court is now finally set up for that. There have been a fascinating rash of articles and briefs written about this. If you want to read more about it, you can certainly just look up some of the briefs. The Volokh, well, basically, I link to them all on my Twitter account. If you follow me on Twitter, you will have all this information. I am at Gun Talk on Twitter. And I'm putting up those links all the time. If you read them, you will be like the smartest person in your group when it comes to the Second Amendment. It's simple as that. So, how's this going to work? Well, the makeup of the Supreme Court is different now. Justice Clarence Thomas has been essentially begging the court to take these cases for many, many years. My hope would be that we get a good decision and Justice Clarence Thomas writes the decision, because I think he would be even stronger and better than Scalia was on the Second Amendment. I learned something this week, which I did not know. Of course, John Roberts, Chief Justice, is probably the swing here. If he is with the dissenters, if we get a good decision, he's with the dissenters, then he doesn't get to pick who writes the decision. But if he is with the majority, the Chief Justice can assign to one of the justices who gets to write the decision. If it's possible he could see which way the wind's blowing and decide to go in with the majority and be pro-gun rights on this, but assign it to someone other than Justice Thomas, Clarence Thomas, as a way to try to avoid getting a super strong decision. So you've got this kind of intrigue going on as well. A lot of things going on. And by the way, the recording, the audio recording of the Supreme Court oral arguments in this case will be available. Usually it's either later that day or the next day. And this is going to take place November 3rd. I would love to have been there, but I'm going to be in deer camp. And I'd set this up, and I'm not going to leave my opportunity to be in deer camp in the mountains to go to Washington, D.C. I'll just listen to the recording when I get back out. A lot of things going on there. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be getting some range reports, also some information on what's going on, more things in the gun rights world. Also, is it smart to issue a verbal warning in a self-defense situation, you know, stop, drop the weapon, all of that? I'm starting to think it's not. We'll talk about why when we come back.